资料。仅供沪江研友内部交流，禁止用于商业目的。
Questions 28 through 30 are based on the following talk about care for children. So you now have 15 seconds to read questions 28 through 30. Recently, a 5-year study was conducted by the Center for Childhood Development in Los Angeles, California, regarding the way babies react to different types of people. The findings of the study suggest that infant children seem to be more comfortable around other babies than they are with strange adults. The results confirm the ideas of Dr. Richard Perlman, a well-known pediatrician who has written many books about raising children. Dr. Perlman supports the findings of the study and adds that it is a sounder idea to keep children with other children, as in a daycare center, than it is to have children cared for by a babysitter. According to the results of the study, infants benefit from being in the company of other babies on a daily basis, whereas some babies seem to show fear of strange adults. They are likely to reach out to try and touch an unfamiliar baby. The study even suggests that children as young as 1 year old can form friendships. 2 of the children in the study were especially close. It was reported that if the children were separated for any reason, they would start to cry. The only way to satisfy them was to allow them to be together. If the findings are true, it may lead to an increase in the use of family-oriented daycare centers, where children can spend more time with each other and less time with adults. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 28 through 30.
Questions 31 through 33 are based on the following talk about indoor plants. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 31 through 33. For years, it's been assumed that the indoor environment limits the variety of plants that people are exposed to. Lately, however, plants that are usually only grown outdoors have found their way into indoor spaces. There are a few simple reasons why this is. The modern indoor environment can be an ideal setting for a wide variety of outdoor plants. Plants that ordinarily cannot grow in colder outdoor climates can find protection from the cold indoors, where temperatures are easily controlled. Plants that used to only be found outside, such as trees, have become more and more popular as decorations inside houses. Orchids, which were once only found in tropical environments, have begun to thrive in indoor settings. A large number of smaller plants have also found their way into homes. One aspect of the modern home that has made exotic outdoor plants more practical is the modern use of windows. In the past, windows were used less frequently in buildings than they are today. It is partly because of the ability of large windows to admit large amounts of sunlight and keep the heat in at the same time that many outdoor plants have been able to make their move inside. It is true that most of the plants that have been successful in moving indoors have been small. Some of the best adapted varieties are the vines. Many vines that are parasitic in natural surroundings make excellent decorations where other plants prove difficult to grow. Although some trees can be grown indoors, it is unlikely the larger varieties can be used. Unfortunately, most homes just don't have the space to grow a redwood tree.
You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 31 to 33.
Questions 34 to 36 are based on the following talk about preserving. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 34 to 36. Napoleon knew that his army needed a way to save food. Fresh food could not be prepared every day. He offered a prize to anyone who could find the best way to preserve food for the French army. Nicolas Appert, who lived in Paris, came up with the idea of canning. He used glass bottles with tight corks. glass bottles broke too easily, so people started using tin cans. Canning today is done in factories that are very close to the farm. This way the food can be done while it is still fresh. And it is cheaper than shipping fresh food all the way to the city. The food in cans has been cooked, and the cans are tightly sealed to keep bacteria out. Canning is not the only way to preserve food. For thousands of years, people have dried fruits and vegetables in the sun and kept them for winter. They also salted and dried thin pieces of fish and meat. Even though they did not know it, these people were copying nature. Plant seeds dry out and they last through the winter so that they can grow again next spring. If there is no water in the food, bacteria will not grow and spoil it. When the astronauts go into space, they take along with them dried food. They add water to their food, but it tastes good because it is freeze-dried. Freeze-dried food is quick frozen to save the taste. Then the water is removed. When you want to eat the food, you just add water. In the cities, people do not see the food until they buy it in a store. That is why there are pure food laws. These laws say that food must be handled so that it is clean and does not spoil. To make sure the laws are obeyed, food must be inspected all the time. The inspectors test food to see if it is pure. There are different kinds of inspection. Sometimes the test is as simple as smelling the food. Sometimes scientists test food in laboratories. You now have 30 minutes to check your answers to questions 34 to 36.
Questions 37 to 39 are based on the following talk about examination skills. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 37 to 39. Few students enjoy examinations. However, they are part of the school life, and the only way to cope with them is to acquire a range of skills and attitudes that reduce the amount of anxiety and maximize one's chances of success in them. Specifically speaking, the first step is to prepare a proper revision plan. Draw up a timetable, taking care to avoid spending too much time on your favorite subject or revising only one subject at a time. Variety of subject matter will help you to maintain interest and will alleviate boredom. However, if there are certain subjects or topics within subjects that have been a problem for you, ensure that you allocate enough time to deal with them in adequate detail. As a general rule, you should aim at reviewing each subject at least twice. One of the most important parts of any revision plan is the time allocated to not revising. Adequate periods of rest and total relaxation are essential. And treat yourself to a movie or sporting activity, something you will really enjoy and which will take your mind completely off your work. Remember, too, that there will be days or parts of days when you will find it extremely difficult to work for reasons that may be beyond your control. Your timetable must be sufficiently flexible to adjust to such periods of inactivity. Physical factors may also help to determine the effectiveness of your revision, so take whatever steps you can to create for yourself an ideal environment in which to work. Choose a permanent location, even if it's just a corner of a room, and make sure that your chair is the correct height, that there is adequate lighting, natural or artificial, that the distance between your eyes and the table is such that eye strain will be minimized, and that the temperature range is comfortable. It is very difficult to study effectively if one is too hot or too cold. Finally, make sure that your timetable includes time for reviewing past examination papers on the subject. They will help you to develop an understanding of the structure of the paper and to keep in mind the kinds of questions you are likely to be asked. You now have 30 minutes to check your answers to questions 37 to 39.
Questions 40 to 43 are based on the following talk given by a man who gives professional advice for young people. You now have 20 seconds to read questions 40 to 43.
Most worthwhile careers require some kind of special training. Ideally, therefore, the choice of an occupation should be made even before the choice of a curriculum in high school. Actually, however, most persons make several job choices during their working lives, partly because of economic and industrial changes, and partly to improve their positions. The one perfect job does not exist. Young people should therefore enter into a broad, flexible training program that will fit them for a field of work rather than for a single job. Unfortunately, many young people, knowing little about the occupational world or themselves for that matter, choose their life work on a hit-or-miss basis. Some drift from job to job, others skip to work which they neither like nor suit. One common mistake is choosing an occupation for its real or imagined prestige. Too many high school students, or their parents for them, choose the professional field, disregarding both the relatively small proportion of workers in the professions and the extremely high educational and personal requirements. The imagined or real prestige of a profession or a white-collar job is no good reason for choosing it as a life's work. Moreover, these occupations are not always well paid, since a large proportion of jobs are in mechanical and manual work. The majority of young people should give serious consideration to these fields. Before making an occupational choice, a person should have a general idea of what he wants out of life and how hard he is willing to work to get it. Some people desire social prestige, others intellectual satisfaction. Some want security, others are willing to take risks for financial gain. Each occupational choice has its demands as well as its rewards.
You now have 40 minutes to check your answers to questions 40 to 43. Questions 44 to 47 are based on the following conversation. You now have 20 seconds to read questions 44 through 47.
So you really believe that clothes carry a kind of message for other people, and that what we put on is in some way a reflection of what we feel?
Oh yes, very much so. Now people are beginning to take seriously the idea of a kind of psychology of clothing, to believe that there is not just individual taste in our clothes, but also a thinking behind what we wear, which is trying to express something we may not even be aware of ourselves.
Oh, but surely this has always been the case. We all dress up when we want to impress someone, such as for a job interview with a prospective employer. We tend to make an effort and put on something smart.
True, but that's a conscious act. What I am talking about is more of a subconscious thing. Take, for example, the student who is away from home at college or university. If he tends to wrap himself up more than the others, this is because he is probably feeling homesick. Similarly, a general feeling of insecurity can sometimes take the form of overdressing in warmer clothes than are necessary.
Oh, but can you give any other examples?
Yes. I think people who are sociable and outgoing tend to dress in an extrovert way, preferring brighter or more dazzling colors, yellows, bright reds, and so on. In the same way, what might be seen as a parallel with the animal kingdom, aggressive clothes might indicate an aggressive personality or attitude to life. Think about the threat displays used by animals when they want to warn off opponents.
Do you think the care, or lack of it, over the way we actually wear our clothes has anything to tell us?
Yes, indeed. The length, for example, of a man's trousers speaks volumes about his awareness of his own image. Or if his trousers are very short or hanging loosely, this probably means he's absorbed by other things.
You now have 40 seconds to check your answers to questions 44 through 47.
Questions 48 to 50 are based on the following conversation about an unusual thief. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 48 to 50.
Hey, Linda, you won't believe this, but here is an article about a professional pickpocket, Bob Arno, and his wife, who travel the world to learn the fundamentals of stealing.
Are they crazy? Don't they know that it is breaking the law to steal?
But they didn't do this in order to steal. At first, the husband, Bob, studied to improve his skills as an on-stage pickpocket performer. And that is how he has made his living for most of his life.
Where has he been to give performances?
He started as a stage pickpocket in his native Sweden, and then entertained troops in Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War. He became so skillful that the trade eventually led him to a career performing at nearly every major strip hotel as an entertainer.
This is really a strange profession. Is he going to do this kind of performance all his life?
No. Actually, he studies with the goal of documenting the artistic form of thievery that dates back almost to the beginning of time. He and his wife are in the process of putting together a book on all of the different pickpocket skills.
I guess the hope that through their studies of the upcoming book, they can inform others on how to avoid becoming victims.
That's right.
Have they given any advice on how to prevent being stolen from?
The simplest advice he offers is to be aware and to keep a wallet in a safe place, preferably in a pouch underneath clothing.
I think it's common sense.
But people tend to neglect it, especially when they are on vacation. He also suggests people should move at a fast pace and act like you have a purpose. If you look confused, the pickpocket will sense that in a second, and they will be all over you.
That quite makes sense. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 48 to 50.
Section 3. Practice for different topics. Unit 1. Weather forecast. Exercise 1. You will hear a weather report. Listen to it and fill out the table with the information you've heard for questions 1 through 5. Write only one word or number in each numbered box. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the table below. And now for the weather forecast. Tomorrow will be another cold day, generally in all parts of the country, with maximum temperatures of 5 degrees above zero. Around London and the southeast of England, it will be a dry day, with some sunshine on the southeast coast in the afternoon. In the southwest, the morning will be sunny, but during the afternoon it will be cloudy, with some rain on the southwest coast. The north of England and Scotland will be very cold and windy all day, while on the northeast coast of Scotland there will probably be some snow during the evening. Well, that's the weather outlook for tomorrow. Now let's take a look at the weather around the world. In New York, the temperature is a warm 30 degrees. The sun is shining. In Auckland, New Zealand, it's cloudy and the temperature is a cool 7 degrees centigrade. Beijing is clear and the temperature is 19 degrees. It's raining in Calcutta, but it's not cold. The temperature is 33 degrees. Honolulu is warm and windy. The temperature now is 30 degrees. Melbourne, Australia is clear and the temperature is 10 degrees centigrade. It's raining in Mexico City. The temperature is 24 degrees. Moscow enjoys a sunny 26 degrees. The sky of Paris is clear and it's 27 degrees. In San Francisco, skies are cloudy and the temperature is 21 degrees. It is raining in Sao Paulo, Brazil. The temperature is 14 degrees. And that's all from me. Thanks for listening.
Exercise 2. You will hear a radio weather forecast. For questions 1 through 5, complete the sentences or answer the questions while you listen. Use not more than 3 words for each answer. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the sentences and the questions below. Good morning. Here is the forecast for the whole country until dawn tomorrow. The south of the country today will remain rather changeable, with a possibility of scattered showers from time to time, and even thunderstorms in some places, especially in the southeast. This thundery weather may well spread westwards towards evening. Some parts, particularly in the southwest, may escape the rain altogether, and here it should be quite warm, but probably not many breaks in the clouds, I'm afraid, so not much chance of sunshine anywhere in the south. In the north, a little better, with only the odd shower here and there, but generally a fairly dry day with temperatures up to 23 degrees centigrade. Towards evening, any cloud there is about should clear, and most parts of the north should have a sunny evening and a clear night with temperatures dropping to near freezing in exposed spots. Tonight it should stay much the same in the south. Still some quite heavy showers in places and thunderstorms in the southeast. But, as I said, many parts may escape this rain altogether. Temperatures in the south during the day round about average for the time of the year. That's about 20 degrees centigrade, and remaining fairly mild during the night, dropping to around 15 degrees in the early hours of the morning. Finally, the outlook for tomorrow. Little change in the south, but continuing brighter in the north with prolonged sunshine. The only exception to this may be along west-facing coasts, where there may be some low cloud or sea mists. Well, that's it for me. Have a nice day. And back to Brian in the studio.
Exercise 3. The following questions are based on a radio weather forecast. You now have 15 seconds to read these questions and then choose the best answer. You will hear the recording once only. And now the weather forecast by BBC's Rob McElney. Rob, here is the weather forecast for the next 24 hours for the whole of England, Wales and Scotland. Well, in South England and Midlands, it will be mainly cloudy with showers or longer spells of rain, and there will be quite a cold wind coming from the west, creating temperatures around 3 to 5 degrees Celsius. I don't think you'll see much of the sun. Cloudy all day with showers, I'm afraid. And in Wales and Northern Ireland, there will be a mixture of sunny spells in the morning, and in the afternoon, there will be quite a strong northeasterly wind causing the temperature to be lower than yesterday, around 2 to 4 degrees. You can expect some rain in the evening. The east coast of England will see the best of today's weather. It will be warmer than yesterday, no winds, and sunshine, so quite warm for the time of the week. In Scotland and Northern Ireland, however, there will be heavy rain and snow over the highest ground. The temperature will drop to below freezing, minus 3 or minus 5, and on the highest spots, minus 10. It will be very cold and very windy everywhere, with gales in places and severe gales in parts of the north. Again, very cold below freezing and very windy. And that's all from me.
Unit 2. Conversations and Discussions. Exercise 1. You will hear a phone conversation between a student and a professor. Listen to it and fill out the table with the information you've heard for questions 1 to 5. Write only one word or number in each numbered box. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the table below.
Maths Department, Dr. Webster speaking.
Hello, Professor Webster. This is Janet Hill speaking. I live two doors down from your teaching assistant, Don Williams. Don asked me to call you because he has lost his voice and he can't talk to you himself.
Lost his voice? Oh, what a shame. Is there anything I can do for him?
Well, he has a class this afternoon from 2:30 to 4 and he won't be able to reach it, but he doesn't want to cancel it either.
Does he want me to try to find someone else to teach the class?
No, not exactly. What he wants to do is get someone to go in for him, just to pass back the midterm exams. He has already marked them, and they're on the desk in the office. The whole thing wouldn't take more than 10 minutes.
His class is at 2:30, you say? Well, I'm free at that time, and I was going to be on campus anyway. I can do it for him. What room is his class in?
Carter Hall, room 214. Will you need his office key to get the exam papers? He has given it to me and I can bring it to you.
Well, actually, that won't be necessary. We have a key in the math department, so I can get into his office if necessary.
Thank you very much, Professor Webster. Don doesn't have another class to teach until Thursday, and hopefully he will be able to talk by then. He will call you as soon as he can. Oh, yes, I almost forgot.
Yes?
Could you put the next assignment on the board, too? It's all the problems on page 45, and they're due with the next class.
No trouble at all. Thanks for passing on the news about Don, and please tell him not to worry about anything.
Exercise 2. You'll hear two people discussing what to see on TV tonight. For questions 1 through 5, complete the sentences or answer the questions while you listen. Use not more than 3 words for each answer. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the sentences in the questions below. Hello, Susan. What's worth watching this evening?
Well, Tom, let me see. And it's a very good night on all channels. After the news at 7 o'clock on BTV1, I think my first recommendation would be the Life program at 8:30 under the title Good Husband Contest. It's an amazing program. Some 40 top candidates have been elected from 3,600 husbands registered for the contest.
Well, it sounds well worth watching.
Now, after that, and still on BTV1 at 9:05, there's a documentary special. It's called Chinese Mothers.
Really? Sounds interesting.
Over on channel BTV2 at 7:40, there is an 8-part series called There Is Sea Over the Mountain, and...
Now, anything for music?
Yes, China Music after that series at 9:20, and on BTV3 at 8:18, there is a live telecast of the May Day Party, featuring famous songs from the 1950s and 1960s. Veteran singers Guo Song, Ma Yutao, Li Shuangjiang, and Li Guyi will stage their time-honored pieces.
Oh, that's worth seeing. Guo Song and Li Guyi are my favorite singers.
They're mine, too. Oh, yes. On BTV2 at 10 o'clock, there is a program called Romantic Dream.
Oh, that sounds interesting. What's it about?
Well, it says 100 fashion models will stage a Beijing TV program of a romantic dream. The models will not only display dresses, but try to impress viewers with song and dance.
Oh, that's really something, isn't it? And what about sports?
Ah, BTV Soccer Magazine at 10:20 on BTV3 and 95 China Sports on BTV1 at 23:25.
All right. Thanks very much, Susan.
Now, hold on. Just one more thing I ought to mention, and that's English Service Beijing News Roundup, Capital Guide, and the teleplay called 4 Generations Under One Roof on BTV3 at 23:30.
Thanks very much. That sounds as though it's worth staying up for at night.